Welcome to LA, Pacific Board members.
Look at the t-shirt, the rating for
it. I know. New York is in the house. I want to start off by saying, I want to remind all of us that to be on the Pacifica airwaves is not a right, it's a privilege, and it should be treated as such. And we should not ask if people should share the airtime. It should be our philosophy to share the airtime. KPFK, I have a lot of good news. One of the things I want to say, it's not a love fest in LA, but we've worked really hard the last couple of years to create relationships between our LSB and the station management programmers and staff where we can collaborate. We don't necessarily have to agree on anything or everything, but there is a sense of that we can work out our differences, that we deal with each other in a way that is respectful, and that we are driven by doing what's in the best interest of the station. And I think that's behind the success of KPFK. Just a couple of things on premiums for BAI. Some of the things, one of the listeners asked me to say something. One of the things we did to help our fundraise at KPFK and increasing how we streamline premiums and just sending premiums out, we doubled our phone lines in the phone room. We've added data entry people that we pay during the fund drive, and that helps us get out our premiums quicker, not quick enough, but right now I know that we have a 98% rate of sending out our premiums.
In how much time?
Within the 8-week time that we give. We're finally there. For the three and a half years that I've managed KPFK, out of 10 fund drives, we've had 9 $1 million fund drives. We've maintained it through making some critical programming changes, bringing in different communities at KPFK. Today, thank you so much for making the time to go out to be part of the march. Today was historical for KPFK because it was the first time where KPFK English language and Spanish language programmers and producers collaborated on a live broadcast. The October fund drive, we extended our drive with one day to raise $70,000 to enable us to purchase backup generators. We've installed the backup generators at KPFK, so it's running on natural gas. We've finally done that in the 47 years that we've been around. We've been able to do that now. A couple of things coming up for KPFK, and Alan, our LSB members are welcome to pitch in at any time. We are starting or try to reinvigorate what is called KPFK, Friends of KPFK. So we've just met in Santa Barbara. We had a road show. So we do a road show. This is the second annual road show that we did. So after the fund drive, we go out. We had 6 consecutive days where we showed the most popular premium to our listeners as a thank you, and it's very successful. We went to Santa Barbara. We met with 25 of our donors that donate annually anything between $2,000 and $10,000. And they are now going to launch the Phone Club in Santa Barbara. They are going to bring in, they're going to network to bring in nonprofits. They're going to network to bring news to KPFK. So we're trying to create Friends of KPFK in all of the outside areas where we can be of service. The one in Santa Barbara has been extremely successful. We've had an invitation from one of our major donors in Santa Barbara to use his house for a fundraiser. So that's one of the things that we're looking at, is cultivating major donors, cultivating new audience, and how do we do that? We do a lot of public affairs, but we also have a huge music audience in LA, and my phone keeps ringing. So what we've done this year, and I'm very proud of what we have done as a station, we are launching our first annual music festival for KPFK at the Ford Amphitheater on July 22nd. And if you know who Mavis Staples is, she is the main act for us, Dwight Tribble, Quetzal is also there, and then a blues band. And the artists have already signed away their rights to give us access to the songs so that we can produce DVDs, CDs, etc. for our fundraise, and that's what we will be doing. This is one way of cultivating that audience that's there, but we don't really do anything with it. In the next couple of months, we're looking at launching a monthly live broadcast with house music. We're going to choose different ethnic groups, different locations, and it's youth from the community that's going to be doing these live shows. And that's one of the other things we're doing. 9/11, we are, in September, we will be launching the first annual film festival for KPFK. Because we are continuing to have the request from our listeners to showcase the documentaries and the independent films that we do. So this year we're starting off with showing all the 9/11 documentaries and films we can get our hands on, and we're bringing out the filmmakers for that weekend. So that's another thing that we're doing.
We are producing
a video on Katrina and the footage that we have compiled. But we also received two grants in the last 2 days. We received one grant, which was $15,000 from AAH, and that is to record 10 families that has been displaced in 10 different cities from Katrina, recording their stories. Several weeks ago, we had another grant for $15,000. We're recording the stories of displaced families of Katrina here in California. We have just gotten the first $20,000 of the $50,000 grant from the California Arts and Council, which is a radio and technology grant for youth. We are partnering with the Cesar Chavez Foundation and LAUSD with 50 different high schools to train 40 different kids over a period of a year. So that's one of the other projects we're doing. We wrote...
Can I just say one thing? On the Katrina video, they solicited from the audience that the audience can make contributions to this video, which will then be a fund drive.
Yes, it's a fund
drive. Even wanted that they make the report.
You know, the thing is, the KPFK board is so informed that they can talk about everything. You know, and I think part of the station is stable financially, but we can't stay at stability. We have to increase our income. So a lot of our focus for the next couple of years is outreach, and we have an outreach committee that worked for about 8 months, and they're finally ready to produce materials. We didn't have money for an outreach campaign, so we started a car donation program that over the last 6 months has brought in $23,000, and we've just moved that money into the outreach committee. The first campaign we had with the outreach committee was came to an end right before the fund drive, and it was a listener campaign for the best slogan for KPFK. And we had several hundred listeners that wrote in and participated in this campaign. The outreach committee chose the slogan, which was the fundraiser slogan for this past drive, and it was radio powered by the people, right when we installed the transmitters. So that was, and what we're doing now, whenever we're going to be using all of those slogans throughout the year, and what we're doing is every time we use a slogan, we're announcing the name of the person that sent it in, so acknowledging the listener. It's small things, but it's important because the listeners feel that they're part of it, part of the station, that they can contribute to the station in some ways. What else, David?
Let me check and see if there's any of that for us.
Our program council, this is the first time where we've initiated a new process to solicit new programs to the station. So we have an on-air announcement that ran for about 2 months to solicit programs. So this is the first round where our program council is actually reviewing program proposals that has been sent in by the listeners and going through that process. Our CAB is active. The CAB has just finalized its first survey here in LA. And Don, you're quite welcome to contribute.
What, the Spanish language stuff?
Okay, then we go through the Spanish language stuff. You know, it's kind of tough to be up here after all. The Spanish language newscast, as you know, we have a 5:30 bilingual newscast at KPFK. We are ready to launch a daily Spanish language newscast. The network is not ready for us. The stations have agreed to do 30 minutes weekly, and so we hope that over the next few months that we will be able to get it to a daily show. We're working on putting the budget together, so we should, you know, that is something that we should be finalizing in the next few weeks. How will we deliver it? Greg spoke a little about it. It's kind of the FSRN model. There'll be weekly conference calls with producers and news directors around the country. We send out the document to all programmers and producers, actually to PDs and GMs around the networks. I'm hoping we can get some input. We wanted to get some input from all the stations before we send the document to the board. At KPFK, we've had several meetings. Don, you were there. Dave was there with programmers and producers that participated. So, Alan, you should check on that so that you can, you know, make sure you get to those meetings. The delivery would be, at this point, AudioPort. We know through Ursula that the affiliates, all of the affiliates, you know, they access AudioPort, so it would be available via AudioPort, via the KU. Also, we are able at KPFK to facilitate a live stream. And what I'm looking at doing is not just putting on the 30-minute Spanish language newscast, but to be able to bring together all of the newscasts around the country from Pacifica and its affiliates and have a 24-hour stream that's just news. And all you have to do is upload it through AudioPort. And we'll produce it at the station. So that's a, you know, that's another way of doing it. We are now KPFK. We started 3.5 years ago. We had 70,000 visitors to our site. We now consistently for the last maybe eight months or so, we have 4 million visitors to KPFK site. We are in the top 1% websites being visited in the United States. Oh my God. In English and Spanish. We now want to look at how do we generate income from the web, and that's another discussion that needs to happen. We also know we've been testing the archiving public affairs shows on the website for the last 6 months. They've become very popular. There's a high demand for it. Yeah. We've been testing Democracy Now! And several other public affairs show on podcasting. It's very popular on KPFK. We've done some test trials over the last 3-4 months on podcasting. So that's some of the really exciting stuff going on for KPFK.
Thank you. And tomorrow we have 1 hour for KPFK, at which time we'll have questions and we'll have an LAB report. We don't have time right now for questions. But if you want to add part of the report.
No, as a courtesy, I would just like to have the two local station board chairs from WDAI in New York and KPFK in Los Angeles just stand up and introduce themselves. They're hard workers, and they're certainly a big part of this. Let's start with KPFK.
My name is Grace Aaron. I'm the LSB chair.
All right, Grace.
And Grace will have a report tomorrow.
Grace Aaron is a KPFK LSB member.
Right. And also, our treasurer from KPFK is here as well. I'm sorry.
Casey.
Yeah, we have the back of the LSB member. One of the things that's new for us that we've started doing with our finance, myself and our treasurer Tracy started meeting. We are now meeting monthly to review the bank statements versus the general ledger and the actual checks that comes back from the bank. So we review those documents. Casey comes in, she reviews it, the finance staff is there. Whatever questions and documentation she requests is available to her to enable Casey to, you know, give an informed report at the Finance Committee in the LSB.
Thank you very much.
And the chair of the WDAI.
Thank you. Okay, so
let me say thank you to our listeners and the extraordinary work that the staff, paid and unpaid programmers and producers do at KPFK. We could not do any of this without the support of our listeners, our LSBs, and everybody that's involved. There's so many nonprofit organizations involved with KPFK through the media sponsorships that we do. And I just want to thank all of them on behalf of the station. Thank you so much.
As we were marching up, as we saw the people, we were out with the people marching up, and we had KPFK, many people had transistor radios, and they were pointing at it, and they were saying, we're listening to KPFK live. So kudos to our team out there covering the million person march.
May I just add, we had a box full of Spanish language leaflets at KPFK, and I took them out, and two or three of us just took it all, thousands or more.
We actually had street teams in the street this morning, and we had printed up yesterday 100,000 leaflets in Spanish that was given out today.
The way they were given out was the station advertised for the weeks leading up to it for volunteers to come in to be part of the distribution network for those flyers. All right, we are going to take a 5-minute break and then come back. I spoke to Lonnie, Ursula, and Pete, and they would like to switch. Lonnie would like to go tomorrow, so Ursula and Pete are willing to go in the finance slot. So we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll hear from the IT director and the affiliates program. Then we'll do our station Q&A and our management issue dialogue.
What? I'm the IT director. IT right here. IT right here.
Kevin playing yet?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All those mics mute. That one's.
Over 500 of them.
Excuse me.
I gave out
one while I was in my car.
I'm working with her in that
I can't get away.
Are you calling us?
Oh, I know. I saw you. You were like,
I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay. Yeah, Shanta, can you get enough members to do that? John, will you please go back to the audience so we can get started? Sandy, can you come sit down so we can start? Rob, Teresa, we're done with the right. Okay, so Ursula Rudenberg is our affiliates director. And proper respect to the affiliates program, we would mandate that people stop talking and listen to each other more.
Members of the audience, if you could be seated also so that the affiliates director can begin her report.
And Marla, could you close that door? Thanks. Okay, Ursula, I apologize that the other board members are not back yet, but we do have quorum,
yeah,
so
this is a chronic situation with PLP.
Carolyn, would you please take your seat? Thanks.
What?
Not her. Actually, why don't we sit here and wait a minute, because it is Jack. Can you ask any board members out there to please come immediately back? And Patty,
no.
Can you come and sit down? No, Patty, let other people go get them. I want board members here. Is anybody finding that they're getting beans pulling in their legs? blood pooling in their lower extremities from inactivity. I'm selling socks and socks. Socks and socks. I sit in a microscope for 12 hours. I actually at a computer. Ursula, we do have quorum, so I'd like to ask you to go. Oh, and here come three more board members.
Gentlemen. Must be seated. We have to.
I guess
we'll start.
The way I want to use the 15 minutes for this report in three ways. I want to tell you about who has affiliated with Pacific Us since our last meeting. Then I would really actually like to use this time to ask our affiliate board members to speak, because in fact we are not five stations here. We're six stations, and this is would be an opportunity for you to meet the affiliate directors and hear a little bit about their stations. And whatever time's left, I just would like to answer questions that you might have about the program, and notify you that I will be making a longer report at the next board meeting. So please, if any you have any questions that you would like me to address at the next meeting, I would really like to use that opportunity to educate you about the program. And I love hard questions. I'm not sure there are a lot of hard questions concerning affiliates, but certainly would like to hear what you have to say. New affiliates. Four new affiliates recently, last month. KNON, Texas, Dallas, Texas. Second was KWBA in Eugene, Oregon. KNON is a community radio station. It is actually predominantly an African American radio station, and thus identified. KWBA is a college radio station, University of Oregon. They are a former affiliate, and we're very happy that finally they have decided to give us a chance and come back. They're doing it tentatively. They had some real reservations still about coming back, but they're giving it a shot. The third station is WPPP, brand new radio station in terms of relating to us in Athens, Georgia. WPPP, which Yvonne might be able to tell you more about it than I can. They're very new. They're a very small station, I understand, and they're basically, I don't think they're connected to a college. I think they're a community radio station, and they're really culturally focused, as far as I understand. Their business is highlighting the local culture of Athens, Georgia, which they're very proud of. And the last station is an internet radio station, actually from New York City. An African-American graduate student at Columbia University has created an internet station called HeavierOctaves.com. It's a pretty cool station. If you ever get a chance, check it out on the web. They've been going down to Louisiana a lot and covering Katrina quite a bit, and she affiliated with us. So those are the new members of the family. It's HeavierOctaves.com. So we're at 90, and that 100 mark is going to come soon, and then we're going to make a poster. Yvonne, would you please describe WRFG a little bit and tell us a little bit?
Well, yeah, WRFG is in Atlanta, Georgia. Athens happens to be the home of the University of Georgia, and it has a big culture with the REM and all those groups come out of there. But we are 100,000 watt radio stations. We came on the air in 1973. We were the first listener-sponsored station in the South, the 11th in the country when we came on the air. We're dirt poor, but we do have some innovative programming, and we look forward to our relationship continuing with Pacifica as an affiliate. We use a lot of programming. We have the KU band satellite and all of that. I see myself as a representative of WRFG and similar affiliates throughout the South. Particular thing about that region and the need for us to consciously develop relationships among stations in the South. And so that's, I see that as part of our mission here. And I'm, as a new board member, here to serve in whatever capacity the general board thinks that I am qualified to. I have no problem with that. It's a commitment of time.
Yvonne, would you speak very briefly about the media coalition that you guys are working on?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a lot of active relationships in the community. We recently had our fourth annual Southern Media Justice Coalition meeting, where we meet with different organizations, print media, electronic media, grassroots organizations. We come together. We identify issues we want to cover in the coming year. We set up a schedule of town hall meetings, on-air discussions, etc., to cover these various issues. And we just successfully had a meeting dealing with these things. And so we're trying to increase the collaborative impact that we have as far as progressive issues and addressing them in the Deep South, So that's a step forward. When I go back, we'll be working on that, trying to deal with that whole coalition and schedule. We recently had the 14th Annual Homeless Coalition Marathon, Homeless Marathon, that we were the host station for that. And we kind of do a lot of those kinds of things.
Which, by the way, is the most heavily taken program by our affiliates in the whole year, the Homeless Marathon.
Well, we did it this year to focus on Atlanta and the problems that we have with homelessness in Atlanta. Atlanta is very concerned with this image, but it also is one of the meanest cities in the country as far as legislation passed to criminalize homelessness. And we try to address that directly. And unfortunately, now that
first, I had to tell him how I discovered him. WPFW's 89.3. His is 89.3. And I happened to be visiting my daughter in Atlanta and picked it up. And come find out, he almost came to Washington.
Long time ago.
Rip, would you... let's wait. Let's Rip talk, and then we'll... Okay.
Oh, can I talk?
Did you
mention something about the World Social Forum?
Oh, yes. We're going to be the host media for the U.S. Social Forum next year. This year, we're having the end of the summit, a regional convention, preparing for that. And then next year, the National Social Forum at the end of the summit will be hosted in Atlanta. And we're working with groups and organizations in the Gulf region that have been impacted by Katrina. We postponed it a year because of that impact. Originally, we were going to have it to the end of this summer, 06, but the devastation was so large that we decided to put another extra year into preparation for it. So the station is going to be the host organization, the host station for it, and we already have started organizing and planning for that. So you're all invited to come to Atlanta next year at the end of the summer in 07 to the U.S. Social Forum.
Okay, Rip, WRSD.
Yeah.
Other side of the country.
It was, my name's Rip Robbins from KSPR in Washington State, and hearing about the station PPP, I guess the first thing I'd like to say is we actually have an organization with those same letters who's doing a show on the air, the People for a Peaceful Planet. So it's kind of interesting we call them the PPP group. And that's a show that we have on. Ursula wanted me to speak a little bit about some of my history in at the radio station there. I just wanted to start off by saying if you Google my name, you'll find a number of references that pop up first relating to the Pacifica incidents that took place in the late 90s. I was part of that, of the Pacifica Alliance. I was part of the one-day boycott. When I say I, it was our station that was there, but I was the spokesperson for them. We were airing Pacifica National News, and we quit airing that. When Free Speech Radio News formed, we started airing that. When Democracy Now! Went into exile, that's when we began airing Democracy Now! In exile. We had just affiliated with Pacifica in 97. And then these things started happening that did not coincide with our interpretation of the mission. So even though we felt like we were a tiny station up in the corner of the country that really didn't have anything to do with that, we felt that we needed to add our voice. We're members of NFCB since 95. I started at the station in 94. The poor station didn't belong to anything at that time. And so we just started there, 95 with NFCB, 96 with Radio Bilingue, and 97 with Pacifica. I remember at the NFCB meetings in San Francisco when Shub and Gantner were telling us the way Pacifica was going to be run in the future. And I remember a number of people taking our opportunity at the Pacifica affiliate meeting to reject those notions and to say, no, we were not going to put up with that. And there needed to be changes at Pacifica. And what I'm really happy to see is that those changes took place. Our station, some of you may not realize this, but our fiscal budget this year is $74,000. So when I hear a lot of the numbers being talked about, it's just
a $1 million fund drive.
One thing that we have that's a little bit different in terms of fund drives, and I'm going to try to keep this short. I have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I'm just going to write down some basic things. But just to show some differences about our station, we have a large number of very poor and disenfranchised folks that we do programming for. for. And in a typical membership drive, the mechanisms don't work for those listeners. We have folks that would bring in $5 up to the station and delivering it in person. Okay, so we realized that there needed to be some other kind of mechanism that we could use to make those folks who wanted to be included as members of our radio station, how could we kind of address that? And we kind of have a novel approach that we use. One of the big draws in the community are the violets, the dances that we do for the local community. At those dances where we bring in bands that are very popular with the community, and one thing I got to say is that what I'm used to is that a certain age demographic goes to see certain kinds of music, but that's not the case in the Spanish-speaking community in our area. We've got kids who are listening to hip-hop in the cars coming to see traditional Norteño music that their parents listen to and their grandparents listen to. Tex-Mex, a wide variety of what you call traditional Mexican music. So what we do at those dances is when they come in, they're going to pay a kind of admission fee, but then we have the table there where they can become members without filling out a form with a name and address. And I know that would sound odd, but then what are you going to do? Well, we don't have a fulfillment for them. They just want to be members. So we're not mailing them anything. They may not have a permanent address, but they still want to support the radio station. And we do. We have raffles at the dances where we give out T-shirts. One of the most prized items that we can raffle off in the middle of the dance is one of these sweatshirts. We've been doing the sweatshirts now for a couple of years, and they're just very, very well received. Some of the things that we've done in our community to foster awareness of political changes that we need. We partnered with a station to the north of us when Amy Goodman came out about a year and a half ago. This year, we're teaming up with a local nonprofit arts organization to hold a human rights festival. They own a movie theater that's been refurbished, and we're going to collaborate with them. That's going to be toward the end of October. What I'd like to end with is an example of how we're reaching out to youth in our community. Aside from these dances, how are we getting them involved in the radio station? The day before I left to come down here, we had a visit from the Boys and Girls Club. There was about 18 or 19 kids, I was told, that is in this particular group that was under this one mentor who wanted to bring them over to the station. Well, only three kids actually got in the vehicle to show up. Because, what do we want to do? This is what the story was. Well, these three kids, after I gave them the tour, our media producer took them into the studio and ended up cutting a PSA with them, where all three of them had their voices on this public service announcement. And it was such a well-done thing. I mean, there's so much creativity that our media producers at all of our stations bring to the air. And when I heard this PSA, it was just so wonderful, because here's three kids who probably had never heard their voices recorded before, especially on the radio. And now we have a standing PSA that we're going to be airing for quite a while. And what I believe is that when they go back and share their experience, the rest of those kids are all going to want to come over the next time that their facilitator says, we're going over to KSVR to see the radio station. And I just want to say, just really am happy about that kind of collaboration.
That actually takes us to time on the item, and just to tell people, so we knew that we couldn't do justice to everything, so in this meeting, this time is very foreshortened. As Ursula mentioned, at the next meeting, she'll be given the feature presentation that at this meeting was allotted to the archives, so at that time, we'll be able to really go in depth to the extent you can do it with 20 people, and 22 people in an hour, but we'll have an extensive opportunity to go in detail into the affiliates program. Any last comments, Ursula?
I think Bob had a question.
We don't have time for questions.
I know, but the next speaker's not here, so.
Are we prepared to do the Q&A with management?
We can begin with a couple of the people. We're tracking down two people. Peter was in the room a moment ago, and Ron, who is somewhere. We have Ernesto and Lemlem here from KPFA and KPFT for Q&A.
Okay, so just to remind people, what we decided to do in this section was, rather than have reports that each person can give a 5-minute presentation if they like, and then it's just for us to the board to ask questions of whomever of the other three stations that were not featured, whatever questions they might have, and it would just be a Q&A period after a brief presentation. So, Greg, do you want to ask either? Would you rather wait until after we do the management issues dialogue, or are you prepared right now? Okay, well then let's do that, and then we'll go through the management issues thing, by which time you will have found out.
I'm going to hand up this report. For those listening online, I'm handing a report. You can get this on Pacifica.org. This report is two parts. It's a text part and screenshots of the content. It's 10 pages long. I figured a lot of the stuff I'm going to talk about, if you all are busy, you may not be visiting these sites and seeing some of the new stuff that I'm coming up with. So what I did was capture screenshots of some of these projects and et cetera, so you can actually see it right there in front of you. Obviously in 15 minutes, I don't have the time to cover it all, so I'm going to leave it there. I also would like to leave some time for questions, because my experience last time, as well as already this time, I get board members that approach me and have questions. I'd rather answer them collectively rather than individually, but I want to have the time to... So, what's in this report is what I've accomplished since we last met. The last couple of months. February 24th, the Pacifica Network.org went live. It was Pacifica National's third website. When I started the job, we only had Pacifica.org. Now, with Audio Board and Pacifica Network, there's three, and there's another one coming by the next time I see you guys. We went over the main gist of Pacifica Network last time, so I'm not going to go over it there. You see that 1, 2, 3, and 4. The first page and the first 5 or 6 graphical pages also deal with Pacifica Network. Again, because of the time, I'm going to just briefly mention a couple of things, but not go over in detail. The site is a tool for our staff. It's a resource for our community as a whole. It adds marketing elements, allowing our producers, already some of our sister station producers, have submitted their releases through the site. Our national specials have gone through the site. Google has indexed some of these specials. For example, United States Surveillance hearings that we did, the second one was 5 out of 500,000 in Google right after C-SPAN and House.gov. Not bad for a 1-week-old site at the time. I'll leave it at that for the Pacifica Network site. It's really important because it can spend 20 minutes on the site alone. But I'm working on resources beyond this, including streaming resources, archiving, podcasting resources. And for these things, I get to work with the sister station more directly, which is actually a pleasure. Because I work out of Brooklyn, and BI, of course, is there. I've been working with BI a lot closer. So where I say MP3 archiving and podcasting, I'm referring to a system that's going on at KPFT, and we're using it at the BBI now for 6 months with some great success. Actually, earlier Eva was talking about podcasting. BBI, after 6 months of doing the archive, literally is getting tens of thousands of podcast requests a month for the collective public affairs program, and hundreds of thousands of hours are being replayed on a monthly basis from these archives. In terms of streaming, just this past week, I in fact set up a series of streaming applications for this VA archiving server with the intent of increasing VI's total public streams. Currently, for example, VI offers 216 kbps streams aimed really at a dial-up user. And what this offering would allow is a stereo high-quality streams for DSL and high-speed users, as well as additional low-quality streams. Anyway, I can't believe I have to fly through all this great stuff, but really, I get the gist after 3 or 4 years of doing this that when I discuss a lot of the technical things, it tends to kind of not sink in. So I'm going to try to speak to some stories instead and leave the report for you all to read sometime later. My experience beyond the technical things, working and relating with the staff for the last 4 years, has been kind of interesting. And here I relate to part D on the second page. As I go through the sister stations, not physically, but talking to them, working with them, I get a sense, at least from the majority of them, that our staffs collectively are really behind the curve technically. I don't mean that to be pejorative or disrespectful. There have been quantum leaps in technology, not just internet, in the last few years, really lowering barriers, expanding our horizons. And I really have to urge you all to spend some time thinking about and focusing on that, because I've been doing this for 4 years and I've been to one technology committee meeting. I have no representation to you folks on the staff, on the board. I have no way to communicate with you folks. No one represents my needs. Internet infrastructure needs, not just for national, but really for the sister stations, and now for the affiliate stations, because these tools can be applied to them as well. So what I'm saying here is really, I'm really urging you folks to, spend some time on technology. Encourage the folks in your sister stations that are on this committee. Please, there's gigantic issues to address.
I realize that Pierce was the convener. He didn't manage to succeed. I just asked Sandy to serve as that convener and to do it within 3 weeks and get that committee up and running. I'm hoping that your relationship to the tech committee will be like the CFOs to finance, the affiliate directors to affiliates, the archive director to archives, so that we will actually do that this year.
To the extent that I can, I'm a one-man operation. I currently work 50 plus hours a week, and I'll do the best I can. But,
a few motions to get you going.
Okay. Well, to speak to that, here's a story. For example, in the last 2 years, the national staff took an initiative to call what we call the Tech Talk, where we convened technicians beyond the sister stations, beyond the affiliates, experts in their industries, and their folks that have spoken in front of the FCC on wireless and other new technologies. We got a grant to bring people there. And we had no support from the board. We had no support from the sister stations in retrospect. If I could have told you all that we could gather these experts for literally a few thousand dollars, you would say, if you could do it, do it. You would probably say, no, it's impossible. We had 40 people come to these meetings with the intent not to do politics, but to share ideas, share code, collaborate. The essence of operations is communicating, and if we're a network, it's what we should be doing. These initiatives, as wonderful as they sound, they get stifled. Why? Who's going to be in control of this? Who's going to be in charge of this? These type of issues, it's been my experience that have stifled these initiatives. It's unfortunate. Because collectively we lose. I can do wonderful things with streaming, archiving websites. If our staff can't grasp it and use it, it's meaningless. Okay, so I don't mean to be disrespectful or harsh, but I really, at this point, after 4 years, it's starting to get frustrating. And with all due respect to Candace, looking personal, he approached me this morning and said, have a question, et cetera. And I said, please bring it up during the meeting. And I hope there'll be some time for you to do that. The same thing, I said that because you did the same thing last time. I had 5 minutes, and it's not, you know, I don't mean to say to isolate, it's something I experienced with a lot of board members over the last 4 years. I get 15 minutes at 10 o'clock Eastern time, 10:45 Eastern time, and so in that context, I would like at least the opportunity to dialogue with you folks and share. And so rather than, I'll leave this at that, I'll cut short so you guys can have some time on that. But I'm trying to raise a little consciousness. Trying to talk about technology doesn't work has been my experience with y'all. Mm-hmm. So if I can just scratch the surface and just realize a little bit of my frustration, a little bit of what I've been going through, I hope that'll help.
Go ahead, Ken.
Okay.
I'm sorry. There's only about another 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay. I want to just mention a couple of things on training. This is close to tech talk and training. I mentioned VI earlier. I've been fortunate to work with VI. I've done several trainings, for example, with the Audi Port. In fact, Bernard mentioned on the count, I did a training with the folks, first thing on the count, to help them get on the Audi Port. I want to let you all know, I am a resource. Tell your sister stations when you go back that if they have questions, needs, concerns, that is what I'm here for. I get phone calls. I got during the homelessness marathon that Iban was talking about, I got a phone call at 3:30 in the morning, Eastern time. I was still working on my computer. I got a phone call from someone at Royal Hollywood here who was looking for how to get this.
As you know, my question is about something that you raised at the previous meeting. The situation at KPMT is that our committee chairs need to go through our local webmeister in order to get stuff posted on our website. And you were suggesting there was technology software that would enable the committee chairs to each to directly post their own stuff through some kind of a program. And I'm asking you if there's either a resource that is already available through Pacifica that could be utilized by them that we could point to, link to, or if there's a way that software could be shared with our webmaster so that our local committee chairs could utilize it in that same kind of way, be able to post their own.
Are you speaking specifically of governance issues, documents, minutes,
yes,
et cetera?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All those will be housed in the forthcoming PacificaFoundation.org. That's the next site you'll be hearing about the next time we see each other.
So within the next 3 months, you expect that to be operative?
Much sooner than that.
And how user-friendly is it?
Well, as I say in the second page there, my experience with Pacifica is, as user-friendly as I think it is, given the state of our staff and the understanding of technology, it's not sufficient. We need to start training immediately, and I need to start generating documents, and we need to start planning, and that's the only way it's going to get off the ground.
I just want to say, I do a lot of my own programming, and when you talk about the number of different projects you're involved with, the number of different websites, the complexity of them, the need to do training and all the rest, it's just a structural problem. It's not appropriate for a one person. So I can't imagine, from my own experience with programming, is when you have that much to do, no piece of it is actually fully bulletproof. And so you're needing to go back because you don't have enough design time on any one thing to get it all the way to the end. I know that each of the local stations has people doing stuff. We have Ali Lexa here, who does a great job. But I see the same phenomenon at a lot of the different websites. This is an area where locality doesn't matter a bit, and we really need work on getting all of the people who are doing this kind of work in the network doing joint planning and not duplicating, because some of what Pete has done in terms of the back-end stuff is stuff that, there are other people doing back-end stuff on their own things, not just the front-end, which is the interface, but I don't think all those back-ends match up, and they should. They should all be the same systems. There should be a design process where people agree on it. So I'm hoping that over the course of the coming year, and to the degree which the technology committee can help, we will, we start talking about how we share those resources in a way that makes sense for a network, because that is the one area where it need not be stationed specific.